One thing about me is that I'm mortal, like I'm an organism, which is weird on its own. Like I'm a collection of literal atoms that decided to hang out together for a while and which will eventually be unable to hang out together any longer. And then I will, this is the weirdest part, cease to be. And there's nothing that can be done about that because, like, planets and stars also cease to be. It's a real conundrum, and I'm not going to find my way through it in this advertisement. But we can make life less terrible for those who survive us, and that's why there's life insurance. I have life insurance because the people who are counting on me will be supported after my atoms can no longer hold it together, and Policy Genius is here to make life insurance easier. Policy Genius isn't an insurance company, it's a marketplace where buying insurance is straightforward and affordable. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams, so check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
Hello, and welcome to Dear Hank and John.
Or as I prefer to think of it, Dear John and Hank.
It's a comedy podcast about death, where two brothers answer your questions, give you dubious advice, and bring you all the week's news from both Mars and AFC Wimbledon. We haven't talked about death that much lately, John. How are you? Are you too distracted by things that are not death, that you're not thinking about death as much?
Oh, I've been thinking about death a little bit. Don't worry about that. But as this podcast is airing, my new book, Turtles All the Way Down, comes out tomorrow. Comes out October 10th. And that's a bit of a, it's my first book in 6 years. It has occupied, I would say, a majority of my consciousness over the last couple of weeks. And I would say essentially all of my consciousness over the last 3 to 5 days. So I would love to think about something other than Turtles All the Way Down right now. I will say, Hank, you know this because you were with me, but just before we recorded this podcast, we did our monthly Patreon live stream, patreon.com/DearHankAndJohn, lest I only shill for one of our products in a 30-second period. We were doing a Patreon live stream and someone came into the live stream and said, hey, I'm having a baby today, but I didn't want to miss the live stream. Just wanted to check in and say hi to everybody. And upon further investigation, Hank, it turns out that this person, Jessica, was actually about to have their first baby.
In labor.
At the hospital, laptop open, to our live stream. So that was great because it did for a moment make me think about something other than Turtles All the Way Down. Jessica, we wish you well, and we appreciate you bringing new life into this world.
If you want to come see us on the book tour that's beginning tomorrow, bad news is that almost every place is sold out except for our California dates, which are towards the end of the tour, and Nashville, Tennessee. So hello, Nashville, Tennessee. Are there any other dates that are not sold out, John?
I think that's it. You can find out more at turtlesallthewaydownbook.com. Hank.
Yeah.
Can I read you a short poem?
Okay.
All right. This short poem is by Robert Frost. It was sent in by Caroline. I don't know if it was the same Caroline who complained about people singing songs about her name, but regardless, that is a great song by Neil Diamond. All right, moving on. Dust of Snow by Robert Frost. The way a crow shook down on me the dust of snow from a hemlock tree has given my heart a change of mood and saved some part of a day I had rued. Just a nice little short poem about having a crow dust some snow on you.
Thanks, crows. If you would like to see a crow putting snow on your shoulder on tour, that's not a thing that exists, but we will be in Seattle for PodCon December 9th and 10th. I just feel like we're pushing stuff a lot today,
wow.
Tom. So I'm just like hopping on top.
I mean, I haven't heard something so obviously inserted into a podcast since you said disco pants last episode. All right, Hank, let's move on to questions from our listeners. This one comes from Catherine, who writes, Dear John and Hank, just bought my ticket for your San Francisco show on Halloween. I'm very excited. Oh my God, I can't believe that we're still shilling. I'm very excited, but I have one burning question. Should I wear a Halloween costume? I want to be festive, but I don't want to be the only one dressed up. Will you both be dressed up? Face paint and checkered Vans. Catherine.
Checkered Vans. Oh, the shoes. I was like, that's a weird Halloween costume. Just paint my face and get it a checkered van. Yes, I will be in costume, but I will be in costume at all the shows during a portion of the show. Ish, kind of. It's complicated.
I mean, Hank, I think there is a 95% chance we are going to do that bit during rehearsal, and we're both going to be like,
going to cut it.
This is a horrible mistake.
I think it's a 5% chance. I think it's a 95% chance that I hit it out of the park. You haven't heard my talk yet.
Well, I'm excited to see if this bit works. But yes, Hank will be in costume. I mean, you can hardly get Hank out of costume.
So I just found out that our rehearsal shows have people at them, and I'm actually really, like, at first this made me, like, kind of upset that I was like, no one told me we were rehearsing in front of people. But now I'm excited about it because if it was me on the stage doing this bit with nobody in the audience, John would think it was terrible. But I need the audience reaction because otherwise it's going to get voted down and I'm not going to be able to do the weirdest idea that I have had so far.
I mean, listen, I think it is a great bit. I just don't know if it's one of those bits. Like, there are so many bits in our lives, Hank, that when we talk about them, they are so, so funny. And then when we actually execute them, we're like, oh, man, like that was like it turned out to be a brother thing. That turned out to be a thing that we both liked because we were raised in the same family. I don't think this is going to be that bit. I agree. You know what? It's going to be great. To answer the question, Catherine, I will 100% be in costume on October 31st at our San Francisco show, our Halloween spectacular. I am 100% going to be wearing a hilarious costume, possibly more than one.
Oh, wow. That's exciting, John. Are we going to have to like stop at the costume store on the way to the show?
Correct. Or maybe people will just give us costumes along the way. We'll see.
Who knows what will happen. And also, yes, please come to our Halloween show in costume. Should everybody be a turtle? Is that... Should everybody be all turtles?
No, I think there should be some turtles. But if everybody's a turtle, then it's actually a pretty good joke if everybody shows up as a ninja turtle.
Everybody's
it's pretty
turtle.
Weird. You know, the people at the theater are going to be like, well, this is going to be a weird night. Like, guess we got the Ninja Turtle convention in town.
We've done some weird Halloween shows before, but not this one.
All right. Let's ask another question.
All right. This one comes from Brendan, who asks, Dear Hank and John, I'm a cashier at a nationwide warehouse club. Like, you could just say Costco. It's okay.
It could be Sam's Club.
It could be Sam's Club. You're right. And I need a ruling on register etiquette. When one person has their items on the conveyor belt and another person comes up with their purchases, is it the job of the first or the second person to put the divider up? I cannot recall how many times no one has done it and I start to ring up the next person's items and then I get yelled at. Your dubious advice is appreciated. It's Brendan, not Brandon. Brendan.
I have a strong opinion about this. I don't know if you do.
I have a pretty strong opinion as well. You go first.
When you begin to place your items on the conveyor belt, if there are items in front of you and you have not put the divider there, you yourself, the person placing the new items on the conveyor belt, I don't want to say that you're a bad person because lots of people aren't bad people but do bad things, but you're doing a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, this is... Like, so the person who's currently check, like, it could be I'm currently checking out, which means that, like, maybe I'm helping bag or I'm having a conversation with the cashier. I'm currently interacting with another human. I can't be held responsible for what's happening on the conveyor. That's no longer my area.
It's not my
job. I've done my conveyor work.
No,
I've done
yeah,
that.
You put your stuff up there. Yeah.
If the person who is currently checking out puts the barrier there, that's okay. That's a politeness. That's saying, oh, hey, I see that I've noticed another person come up behind me and I'll put the thing there. You're allowed to, but it's not your responsibility. And if you don't do that, why wouldn't you do that? Are you like afraid that the thing's gonna bite you? It's not made of swords. It's just a little piece of plastic.
It'd be cool if it were made of swords.
That would make it a high stakes game. Then I would love every trip to Costco because it'd be like, who's going to put the divider there? And I'd be like, not me. It's made of swords. Be a great stare down game.
Regardless, Brendan,
the one person whose job it definitely isn't, in my opinion, is yours. So the next time you get yelled at, now I know that the customer is always right and everything, but the next time you get yelled at, just remember in your heart that we know that the person who's yelling at you is wrong.
Absolutely.
Also, did you know that Turtles All the Way Down is going to be available at both Costco and Sam's Club?
That is very exciting news. Podcon.com, December 9th and 10th.
Oh, God, we're unbearable. We don't have a real sponsor this episode, so we're crushing it with self-promo.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Speaking of which, this next question comes from Grace, who writes, Dear John and Hank, my sister and I both paid for John's book when we ordered it. As the date when it arrives grows near, we have started to debate about who should get to read it first. She says that she should get wait. I started this question thinking that they'd both ordered a copy, that they'd both paid for a copy, but it turns out that they must have gone halvesies on one copy.
Okay. Yes.
She says that she should get to read it first since she is older, and I say that I should get to read it first because she got to read The Fault in Our Stars first. Who should get to read this book first? We are both really excited. Amazing, comma, Grace.
Ah, good one. Can you just like read over each other's shoulders and be like, okay, I'm done with the page. You turn. I'll turn. You turn. I'll turn. That'd be cute.
It's cute, but it's not like the ideal situation for reading a book. I feel like this is up to me. I feel like I get to make the call here.
Oh, well, that's terrible news for the younger sibling.
Grace, I've got good news and bad news. The bad news is that you're always going to be in the shadow of your older sibling for the rest of your life, and nothing you ever do will be as cool as your older sibling.
That's good. Oh, good brother podcasting times. Continue.
The good news is that you get to read Turtles All the Way Down first.
Oh! Take it! All right. John's made the call on the pod before the book comes out. It's arriving, and Grace, read quickly. Be a kind and thoughtful younger sibling. But that is it. I'm the oldest is not a good reason. And if she read Tiffio's first, absolutely. You got to do it. You got to trade back and forth. Good
That's
sibling
right.
game.
But then the older sibling gets to read An Absolutely Remarkable Thing first. I'm sorry, we just hadn't mentioned that you also have a book coming out. I realized that there was, it's not even a product we can really promo yet since it's not available for pre-order, but there's nothing wrong with a little pre-promo promo.
Yeah, you got to get excitement going. Also, Pizzamas is coming up, John. YouTube.com/Vlogbrothers will be making a video every single day for 2 weeks, every weekday, while we're on tour for some of it and selling some pretty truly remarkable Pizza John products. I will not lie. I just saw one of them that we got and it made me giggle like a little tiny boy. I giggled like a baby getting tickled on his neck. It was great. I can't wait for everyone to find out about it.
All right, Nick, let's answer another question from our listeners. This one comes from E, who writes, Dear John and Hank, I'm about to start university and move out for the first time. I'm really excited, but I recently found out that my room is going to be very small. Thank God I'm only 5'1". I don't want to let this spoil my first year, so I was wondering if either of you guys have tips, advice, or experience for living in a very small room. Thanks, E.
Oh, you got to watch that House Hunters Tiny Houses. Tiny House Hunters International, or whatever it's called, and you'll be like, oh, look, it's so great. People are paying extra to live in tiny places now. It's the hip, cool thing.
I think a tiny house is a great idea. So, Hank, I actually have some life experience on this subject because, as you may know, I lived for 2 years in a walk-in closet in Chicago. It was a three-bedroom apartment, and I had three roommates, and my buddies and I drew straws in a competition that I still believe was not completely speaking fair. And I got the short straw, and I lived in a walk-in closet with no window for 2 years. Here is my advice. First off, you've got to use the height of your room. So if you've got like an 8-foot ceiling, you've got to remember it's not just the like 8 feet by 4 feet that you have to sleep on. You essentially have like five levels of 8 feet by 4 feet. So in a way, I'm not a mathematician, but it's like a 32-foot by 20-foot room. It's just broken up into five different levels. And so
vertical
use those
slices.
Levels wisely. I still sometimes like to sleep underneath my clothes and just look up at them. There's something kind of comforting about it.
Wait, do you mean like you just pile your laundry on your body?
No, I just mean like I'll just like go lie down in the, I mean, this is a little weird, but sometimes when I feel really overwhelmed by the amount of stimulus that's coming into my life, which I have a little bit, just a tiny bit the last few weeks, sometimes I just go into my closet and I just put my pillow down there and I just look up at my clothes and I just take some deep breaths and I think, you know, this is probably the safest room in your house right now.
I mean, I would say that you're the weirdest man on earth, but I also feel very, very good inside of a closet and will, ever since I was a kid, will close myself in the closet sometimes. I did not know that you do that, and I would not have admitted out loud that I did that unless you had done it first, but I do occasionally like to just lay down inside of a closet.
All right,
and
there
have,
you go.
And have since I built like a place, like a separate closet in my closet that I would go in when I was a child. And it was not a big closet.
No, I remember your childhood closet. It was actually quite small.
Yeah, I built it out of Omegle. I built a closet in my closet and I would go and
Oh my
it.
God, Omegle. Holy snood. You just took me all the way back. Oh my God, Omegle. Nobody, I mean, this talk about a podcast that is not going to interest anyone other than us. Everybody thinks that Omegle is an app where you talk to weird strangers, but no,
right.
Omegle was a thing. It was a physical thing that you used to create physical goods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and I cannot find it on the internet.
We have to find a picture of it to show people on the Patreon because Omegle, was it called Omegle?
I think so. There it is.
Omegle Construction.
Omegles. Omegles, the build anything toy.
Oh, my God.
Omegles. Maybe if I type in Omegles, it'll be better than Omegle. Nope. There's one. There's that.
That's it. That's it. Oh, it's Omegles with an A. Oh. Hank, we remember we used to build like cars together that you could actually ride on.
Do they not make Omegles anymore?
I mean, I'll tell you one thing. They're about to, because I am about to apply all of my available resources to the resuscitation of Omegles.
I'll tell you what. They do not. You can buy old, dirty, gross-looking Omegle pieces on eBay, but not available in its original form. Oh,
I mean, for a little bit of context about how awesome Omegles are, there is a lot of 162 Omegle pieces available on eBay right now, and I would like to describe it's for sale for $230, and I would like to share with you the description. 160 pieces, used and incomplete. Most pieces have evidence of usage, and it's still $230, and also I'm about to buy it.
I don't know, John. Why don't we just buy the Omegles brand?
Hank.
What?
Hank.
What?
We have to get out of all of these stupid businesses that we've been in that have been taking up so much of our time.
Yeah, just trying to sell weird tickets to weird shows, selling books and t-shirts.
Why are you doing a podcast conference? Why do we sell items every November with my face on them with a mustache that says pizza below them when we could be in the Omegles business? Oh my God. I cannot believe that I forgot about Omegles until just now. I haven't felt this way, Hank, since I was 7 years old. We have to buy Omegles. We have to build them. We have to bring them back.
Well, I don't know who owns Omegles, John, but honestly, it can't be that. It can't be that patented. It's just tubes.
It can't be that patented. I mean, one thing that might hurt our ability to defend ourselves in a trademark litigation of the future is when we say, like, oh, no, we just thought we were building our own build anything toy.
Idea.
And people could be the Omegles people can be like, I'd like to point you to the podcast where you screamed loudly, Hank, we have to drop everything and start building Omegles.
I think it's owned by Hasbro, John, which is not great. Not a great outcome.
Oh, no, I got a buddy there.
Oh, yeah?
No, but I do have a Twitter, and I've got a verified account, and I'm adding Hasbro right now. At Hasbro. Hey, guys.
I want to be your new Omegle ambassador. All I need is 50%.
Omegle situation. I would like to bring back Omegles. We'll do whatever necessary within reason, weirdos.
How many? Do you are you at 280 characters yet? Because that was a long one.
I don't have 280 characters yet, but I did just tweet Hasbro, "Hey guys, what's with the current Omegle situation? I would like to bring back Omegles. We'll do whatever necessary." I decided to cut the within reason part because actually I will do whatever is necessary.
All right.
I know my enemies are going to say this is a fool's errand, but you have never played with Omegles. Omegles are amazing.
Oh, yeah. No, man. I don't know. Kids today, kids these days, they got Minecraft. They're just building stuff in the ether space now.
But Hank, remember, you could build a chair and then you could build a desk on which you could do your actual homework.
It's true. I mean, why'd you have any furniture at all?
It was Minecraft, but IRL. You don't think kids these days want real life Minecraft? Of course they do.
Oh my God, are there advertisements for Omegles on YouTube? Because I want to watch them.
Oh, you know what? We're canceling the podcast and Hank and I are just going to watch. You know, like my kids are always watching toy unboxing videos, which I totally don't get, except now suddenly I do get it because I realize that I could maybe watch an Omegles. Oh boy. Actually, when you Google Omegles, all you get is really upset. Oh, there's one. There's one. There's one. I found an Omegles video, Hank.
Yeah, I got Yep. I'm watching one.
Oh,
right now.
We're watching it together. Oh, it's funny. This is not good. this is not a good YouTube video. This is a very bad video.
Well, most of them are.
But what
pretty
I like
bad.
About this video is that it is obviously as excited about Omegles as we are. What I dislike about the video is literally everything else.
All right, John. You want to answer another question, or do you just want to go Omegles all day?
Well, the answer to your question, Hank, is that I want to keep talking about Omegles, but I recognize that since we are the only two people listening to this podcast who know what Omegles are, that we should perhaps move on.
Maybe.
What was the question?
Oh, was there a question? It was about
no,
closets?
No, there wasn't. This question comes from Julia, who writes, "Dear John and Hank, about 3 months ago, I started to think about studying abroad in England. I would really, really love to do it. And no wonder, Julia, because it is your best opportunity to see AFC Wimbledon live in person. But my question is, how do I ask my parents without it sounding like I hate you and don't want to see you for the next few months? Oh, and please pay a lot of money for that. Only death is free, Julia."
Ooh, my goodness gracious.
It's not even true. Death is actually very expensive.
Yeah. Well, also, there are some free things.
Are there, Hank?
I mean, air. We don't technically pay for it.
In a capitalistic economy, anything can be valued.
Oh, certainly it can be valued, but it is currently free. John.
Yes.
People go overseas, and it's a valuable experience. And parents want their children to have valuable experiences. And that is the first PowerPoint slide in your PowerPoint presentation about why you're going to go to England for a month or whatever.
Rip that audio of Hank introducing this idea. "Hello, Julia's parents. It's me, John Green. Did you know that England is a wonderful country full of educational opportunities?"
Mm-hmm. You can put that part in. You can just cut that mm-hmm in and put it over and over again. It's
sure.
Scientifically proven to make people more susceptible to spending money and losing their children.
I mean, it's not really losing your children.
Right.
It's 3 months apart. I think that the way you present it is as an opportunity, and probably your parents understand that as you get older, they will probably see somewhat less of you. And you just need to like get them used to that idea anyway.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Hank, I have to ask you another question. It's extremely important.
Okay.
I don't know if you know the answer to this because you didn't highlight it in the questions, and I don't know why because it's obviously so incredibly important.
Okay.
This question comes from Kelly, who writes, "Dear John and Hank, I just walked into the hall of my apartment building and someone is baking what I believe to be cranberry bread. I'm
right,
pretty
yes.
shy and I don't know any of my neighbors, but I haven't had breakfast and I'm out of eggs. You see my problem. My question is, how do I get in on this? Hungry belly, Kelly," which is great because it rhymes, but that's also how she's feeling.
So, I mean, are you just gonna like sniff door cracks until you find the one where the cranberry bread's coming from. And
oh, that's
knock.
A good strategy too, because then if somebody happens to be walking out of their hallway, that's their first impression of you, and that's a good first impression. And you could be like, you know what you do in that situation? Somebody opens the door and they're like, hello, and you say, do you smell cranberry bread?
Oh,
and then suddenly you're going to have a teammate and you guys are going to be sniffing doors all down the hallway.
Yeah. And then it's less weird when you knock and you're like, I mean, it just smelled so delicious. It wasn't just me. Multiple right. neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah. Joey over here from across the hallway. I'm assuming that this all takes place in the Friends universe. Joey over here from across the hallway also smelled the cranberry bread. And now here we are, Phoebe. It's nice to meet you.
Oh,
and that's
be...
actually how your sitcom starts.
Yeah, years and years, and you're all going to get millions of dollars an episode now.
I think it actually was only $1 million per episode.
What? I mean, that
was a simpler time.
That was in the 1990 dollars, though, which are now way worth way more.
Hank,
what?
Can you answer the question? Just because while you're talking, it's going to give me an opportunity to scroll further through the Google image results for Omegles, which is making me happier than I've ever felt in my entire life.
Well, I mean, I could go back and actually answer a question about how to live in a small space, because we didn't answer that one at all. We got really stuck on Omegles, which is, I have not found there to be a huge correlation between amount of space and quality of life. Once you exceed a certain minimum amount of, you can fit your bed and stuff in a space, especially if you don't have a roommate, which you didn't mention having a roommate, which is just like, well, that is amazing. So you got space to yourself is better than having a lot of shared space, even if it's a small amount, in my opinion, because roommates can smell bad. How are those Omegles doing, John?
Amazing. I'm on the Omegles has a Pinterest interest group.
Mm.
There's 34 of us, I would say, because I have just joined. And I'm just scrolling through all the Omegle pins, wondering how I didn't remember Omegles until just now. What is it with human brains, Hank, that something that I obviously care starting right now more about than I care about literally anything else except for my family, but I had forgotten until you mentioned it 12 minutes ago?
I don't know, man. I also was sort of surprised that I was able to just call the word Omegles out of my brain after having pictured this thing that I built with the yellow tubes and the pop-in plastic things that made the wall.
And remember, it had wheels. It had like those pop-in tires, so you could turn, like you would have a chair and then suddenly you would have a chair that could go places.
John, speaking a little bit of this conversation, do you remember how it was maybe two episodes ago we found that there was a women's store in the middle of, like, in the geographic center?
Oh, sure, women's clothing.
Women's clothing.
Right, in Arkansas. Yeah, women's clothing. Everybody remembers women's clothing.
Well, I recently went back to women's clothing and found that Dear Hank and John fans have left over 77 reviews of women's clothing. In the middle of a field. They're all pretty good. So I just remembered that because we were talking about things that we had forgotten.
Oh, that's gold. That's gold, Hank. Speaking of gold, let me ask you another question from our listeners.
All right.
This question comes from Madison, who writes, Dear John and Hank, I didn't celebrate Halloween growing up because of my family's religious beliefs. Madison, have you considered celebrating Halloween with us in San Francisco?
All you got to do is get to San Francisco.
Now that I'm older, my friends who love Halloween are insisting that I go to their parties this year because they think I've been deprived of a tremendous joy and I must experience it. But I'm confused. Is Halloween not mostly a holiday for children? If not, how do adults celebrate it? Are these parties going to be based around a nostalgia for Halloween that I don't have? Is it even possible to love Halloween as an adult without having loved it as a child? Parties and pumpkins. Madison.
I think that it's interesting. I had never thought of it that way, but yeah, I think that there is a certain component of nostalgia for the fun that we had as children at Halloween, but I think that's a pretty small part of it. It is, I mean, to be totally just frank and open, it's just an excuse to party and have a party and dress up in weird clothes and drink.
Well, but not
liquids.
Everybody drinks at Halloween parties, I assume.
Yeah, no.
It is mostly an excuse, I think, to dress up and to, you know, wear a costume and to try on, you know, living a life vastly different from yours for a few hours, which is something that is fun in childhood, but can also be fun in adulthood. So I think maybe that's the attraction of it. I was never that into the spooky aspects of Halloween. I have always been a person who felt that real life was plenty frightening without the introduction of unnecessary skeletons, etc. But I did always like the dressing up part of Halloween, the like being someone else part.
I wasn't listening to what you were saying at all, John, because one, I'm terrible at podcasting, and two, I was reading Adam McLean's review of Women's Clothing Store in the Geographical Center of Arkansas. He says, being a person that does prefer the fit of men's clothes, I was really here because of the recommendation from Dear Hank and John. I'm also from the future, where we didn't make it to Mars in time. While I will agree with other reviews that the infrastructure could be improved and would be welcome for accessibility, I'm pretty sure this site is not ADA compliant, I also agree with others that it is very eco-friendly, and locally sourced fabrics are a pleasant find. There seems to be minimal negative environmental impact from this establishment, and it may, in fact, have a net positive impact. We need more businesses like this, DFTBA.
While we're reading responses from past episodes, Hank, I have to read you this response we got from Omaya. You may remember that in a previous episode of Dear Hank and John, we discussed a researcher who stung himself with bees all over his body to find out what is the most painful part of the body to be stung by a bee on. And Omaya wrote in to say, "Dear John and Hank, I am listening to your most recent podcast, and you talk about Michael Smith, the Cornell graduate student who stung himself with a bee multiple times for science. And I know him. I was an officer in the Cornell Beekeeping Club for several semesters. And he is the graduate student advisor for the club, so we met several times. I can attest that his name is Michael Smith, and that he is quite a character, and that if you met him, you would no longer be confused about why he would do such a thing for science. He is very committed to bees. Don't worry, be happy, Omaya."
With a B, with two E's. Don't worry, be happy. Good. Well, I'm glad that that was real and is a real person. It's not that big of a world, John.
It isn't that big of a world. Speaking of how small the world is, Hank, I want to ask you a question from Ariana before we get to the news from Mars and AFC Wimbledon. "Dear John and Hank, last year I made a very good new friend who has been nothing but kind to me. On my birthday, she went out of her way to get me multiple gifts and welcome me at my new school. Although I know she has told me when her birthday is, all I remember is that it is maybe in January or February. I would really like to get her something, but I don't know how to find out when her birthday is without hurting her feelings. In desperate need of a name-specific sign-off, Ariana."
I mean, I feel like well, first of all, can't you just look at her Facebook page? Isn't that a thing? Isn't just on Facebook?
No, young people don't use Facebook, Hank.
Okay. Well,
when we were kids, only young people used Facebook. And by kids, I mean 30.
Okay.
And now, no young people use Facebook.
So, Sitch is, from my perspective, you say, "Hey, what's your birthday? Is that weird? You're not supposed to know.
That. Of course, you can't do that.
You're not like born knowing what everybody's birthday is. Was there?"
She says in the question, "She told me her birthday and I forgot it." Once you've told someone your birthday once, if you forget it, that's on you forever. There's no coming back from that. Everybody knows that.
Sorry. Okay.
Ariana, you have to move again. I'm sorry. I know that you just got used to this new school and it's great that you've got this great friend, but it's over.
I mean, I feel like there are so many people in the world who know this person's birthday. Why, like, ask their mom? Be like, "Hey, what's the birthday?"
Oh, that's a brilliant idea. That is a brilliant idea.
I
was going to say call the home phone, but of course, that's not an option. That's even more anachronistic than a high school student with a Facebook.
I mean, I'm like, what a sweet thing to, like, get one of your friend, one of your child's friends to come up to you and say, "Hey, what's the... I just wanted to know because I like your child so much and I want to celebrate her birthday."
Yeah, Ariana, Hank is right. It is not bad to just ask, but obviously it won't be as much fun if you just ask. So we need to think of a way that you can figure it out without asking.
You got to find her birth certificate in her house.
I like Hank's suggestion that you should burgle your friend's home. It's bold. It's innovative. But I think it's wrong. I think the right solution is that you should hack into their computer.
Oh, no, just the NSA database.
That's a better idea. Yeah, call Ed Snowden. Get into that NSA database, and they'll just be like, so what do you need? Do you need records of all the calls you've ever made? And you'll say, no. No, I don't. Thank you, though. All I need is my best friend's birthday. By the way, Chris and I have been best friends for many, many years. I could not tell you if Chris's birthday is... I couldn't tell you a season.
Could you somehow get them to reveal it without asking? Could you be like, oh, what was your last birthday like? And maybe
was
find
it
out
cold?
What the, yeah.
Was it a windy day? Do you remember if it rained?
What was the top single on the charts that day? Do you remember? Was it Demi Lovato or was it Ariana Grande? Because I can never tell those two apart.
Do you remember when McDonald's ran out of tomatoes for 3 weeks? Was that during your birthday?
Tried to have your McDonald's birthday fun, but it was all ruined by the tomato shortage.
Yeah. In closing, Ariana, ask your friend. Mm. And get her Omegles for her birthday. Omegles, available soon at johnandhankbroughtbackomegles.com. You can also go to hankandjohnbroughtbackomegles.com, but that website isn't as good.
Right. It fulfills many of the same purposes, but it has much better design.
That reminds me that today's podcast is brought to you by Omegles. Omegles, a real toy that Hank and I played with endlessly throughout our childhood that I had forgotten about until half an hour ago.
This podcast is additionally brought to you by Sniffin' Door Cracks. Gotta sniff out those door cracks to see where that cranberry bread is.
That was weird. Part of me wants to go back in time to when before I heard it and just live in that place for the rest of my life.
I apologize.
And additionally, today's podcast is brought to you by Turtles All the Way Down. Turtles All the Way Down, available in bookstores everywhere starting tomorrow. Also Costco and Sam's Club.
And finally, this podcast is brought to you by Amazels. Amazels, not at all in any way inspired by or related to Omegles. John and Hank's new product, in case Hasbro does not have an interest in this, Amazels.
Amazels. Available at, I guess there is no more Toys R Us. Only on Amazon. Really? Yeah. It's an Amazon exclusive. And,
is Amazels.com available?
Oh, God, is it? Hold on. Run, don't walk to Amazels.com. It is 100% available. Hank.
Oh, dang. I'm getting it.
It's happening. We are bringing back Omegles. We're calling them Amazels, and I am ready to go to court with Hasbro.
Wait, hold on.
Let me see if they've replied to me.
No, they hold haven't on. Replied to you, John.
You don't know that, Hank. I have a very important Twitter. You know, people notice when I tweet them. No, they have not replied to me.
There's one like on that tweet, John, and it's me. So
hold on. Let me go to my analytics. Well, that tweet, just so you know, has had 200 impressions, Hank.
And nobody liked it. Just one of them liked it.
I mean, to be fair, if you haven't heard the episode, it's a little bit of a weird tweet. Also, if you have heard the episode...
This episode of Dear Hank and John is brought to you by Blue Land. The inside of your toilet is gross, and that's why you shouldn't let anyone in your household drink out of it, including your dogs, please. Let them drink out of the bowl. The toilet is where the poop goes. There is an easy way to clean your toilet, though. Blue Land's sustainable toilet cleaner tablet. Just drop it in, watch it fizz, brush it up, and then flush. It's super easy, and the great thing about Blue Land is they are figuring out how to do all this stuff without any plastic at all. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and for the planet, and with the same powerful clean that you're used to. It uses no single-use plastics in any component, from bottles, tablets, to wrappers, and even to shipping. The tablet packaging, by the way, is fully compostable. Blue Land products are effective and affordable. The toilet tablets are proven to work on a range of toilet stains, including rust, mineral deposits, limescale, and hard water. And look, when it comes to me, I don't really care that much about bacteria in the toilet, because again, That's where the poop goes. That's where it's supposed to be dirty in there. But it is nice to have something to help you with those mineral deposits, which we have in abundance in Montana. You can get even more savings by buying refills in bulk or setting up a subscription. Their subscriptions are customizable and convenient, so you never run out of your most used products. We have been a Blue Land household for like 3 years now. It's super convenient, super good. Like it a lot. The products look nice. They're easy to use. And again, they do not require single-use plastics or shipping a bunch of water around, because it's like the stuff that's going to be in the water, you can just dissolve it in water yourself instead of having the companies ship water from place to place. Why are we doing this? Never do I think to myself, oh, this is less effective than other cleaning products. It's just not. It's effective, it's easy, and it's affordable. Blue Land has a special offer right now for our listeners. You can get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dear. Hank, you don't want to miss out, everybody. blueland.com/dear Hank for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dear Hank to get 15% off.
Hank, before we get to the news from Mars and AFC Wimbledon, I want to share one fact with you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that fact is?
No, sir.
It is a name, it is a name-specific sign-off from Natalie.
Okay.
She has two. One is, you have a great persa, Natalie.
You got a good persa, Natalie?
You have a great persa, Natalie.
That's really good.
A great persa, Natalie. I mean, I wish that I could go back in time and rename my kids Natalie. Both of them. And she also has one that is based off the Bruno Mars song, Natalie. I ran away with all of Bruno Mars's money, comma, Natalie.
I don't understand that one because
well,
I don't
it helps
know
if you've
about
heard the song.
That song.
All right, Hank, what is the news from Mars this week? Oh, wait, should I do the news from AFC Wimbledon first? It's so incredibly exciting.
Well, do it, man.
Hank, what if I told you that our mom and dad, went to an AFC Wimbledon game at King's Meadow on September 30th?
Oh, that's wonderful.
They had an awesome time. And do you know how AFC Wimbledon celebrated the arrival of my parents at the Wimbledon game?
With goals!
What is the other possibility?
With no goals!
That is the one! You got it, Hank, on the second try!
Oh, no.
AFC Wimbledon did not score in that game against Rochdale? Rosiana? Is not here. Okay, so I'm not going to get an answer on that one. They did not score, which I don't know if you know, it's been a bit of a theme. There hasn't been a ton of scoring. AFC Wimbledon have now played 11 games in their League One campaign, and they have scored 5 goals, which I'm not a mathematician, but that seems to be less than 1 goal per game, and in fact, less than 1 goal per every other game.
I am sorry.
It's not going great. We've slipped to 21st in the table, which is in the dreaded relegation zone. The bottom 4 teams in League One are demoted down to League Two, which is the bottom rung of full-time professional football in England. And that is not where we want to be. We want to be in League One, the third tier of English football, where all the cool teams are, like Doncaster and Oldham and Peterborough. It's a very difficult situation right now. Neil Ardley is concerned. I keep looking at his face on the sideline when I watch the games on my phone, and I see the face of a concerned person, and I share his concern, and I am, I'm worried, and I don't know what to do, and I feel a little bit, I don't know what to do. All right, what is the news from Mars?
The news from Mars, I mean, there's so much news from Mars this week, John, but I think the obvious thing that we have to talk about is Elon Musk's very ambitious plan to send 2 large payloads to Mars by 2022, followed by payloads of human passengers by 2024, which I will remind you is way before 2027. Also, way before we could ever possibly do that. Like, I could imagine a world in which a rocket could get there in that fast, maybe. But to build all the things that would need to go in the rocket for the humans to get there and survive, that seems a little outlandish. But 2024 is like 3 years before 2027 and 4 years before 2028. So, I don't know. We got hey, we got lots of opportunities. So the news is basically that Elon Musk's company SpaceX was working and is still working on a rocket called the Falcon Heavy, which would be one of the biggest rockets ever. But it turns out that it's very hard to build a big rocket, and they thought that they could just sort of strap some extra things on top of their existing platform, and that would be the new awesome rocket, but it's not that simple. So they want to build a new kind of rocket, the one that is still based on one booster that will push a payload up and then return back to Earth and land and be able to be reused regularly. And what that would allow for is getting not just one of these payloads, a very large payload, 150 tons, I think is the max, up into orbit, but then they could shoot up another one that would just be full of fuel. And that could refuel the entire payload that got into low Earth orbit. And that would allow that, because getting from orbit to, like, the hard part is really getting out of, like, the atmosphere and out of Earth's gravity well a little bit. So that would allow for that rocket to get much farther with just one refuel or with several refuels to get to Mars, which is a really smart and interesting way to do it. So to allow for a refuelable rocket, but then all of those boosters, all of the really expensive parts are all coming back down to Earth to be reused again. And this is Elon's plan for how do you make this something that happens economically, because it turns out the fuel is a relatively minor part of the cost. The engines themselves, which we have previously just been crashing into the ocean and not reusing, are the costly part. And he wants to make a really, really big rocket called the BFR, stands for Big Effin' Rocket, apparently, is my guess. And it was not discussed. And use the BFR to expand humanity's spaceflight capabilities dramatically by 2024, which, John, would maintain the name of this podcast, Come Hell or High Water, Dear Hank and John.
So I just want to confirm real quick what you just told me, which is that Elon Musk announced that the way that he thought he could get to Mars isn't going to work. So instead, they're going to do a totally different way, but it's also going to take less time.
Correct, John. It's all about innovation and hard work.
Okay. Well, I am so excited for Dear John and Hank coming to a podcast near you in 2028.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens, John. It doesn't matter as long as we're working hard on amazels by then.
I mean, the truth is, I think we both know we're going to be out of the podcasting game entirely because we're going to be running our amazels empire.
John, what did we learn today?
Well, I mean, the most important thing we learned by far is about omegals.
Right. We also learned that apparently there's something either genetic or habitual that it makes both John and Hank really like to be in closets alone.
We learned that John and Hank will both be wearing costumes on October 31st Woo-hoo. At the Turtles Tour in San Francisco. Hank, what was your phrase of the week? Can I guess?
You can guess.
Was it, because you said that like 12 times.
No, apparently that's just a new verbal tic I have.
Okay, what was it?
It was come hell or high water.
Oh, man. I should have gotten that. All right, what was mine?
Snuck it in right at the end. I'm guessing got the short straw?
No, it was not. Although it could have been. It was fool's errand, and I snuck it in right at the beginning.
I should have caught that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there you go. Hank and I are getting better at this game, so much better that it's almost impossible to catch us at this point.
Yeah, might stop being Hank, fun. We're gonna have to pick some harder phrases.
Hank, thank you for podding with me. Thanks to everybody for listening. You can email us at hankandjohn@gmail.com or find us on Twitter, where I am John Green. Hank is Hank Green. You can also find us on Patreon, patreon.com/dearhankandjohn. We're going to go record our Patreon-exclusive podcast this week in Ryan's right now. But in the meantime, thanks again for listening and for all of your wonderful questions.
This podcast is edited by Nicholas Jenkins. It's produced by Rosianna Hals-Rojas and Sheridan Gibson. Our head of community and communications is Victoria Bongiorno, who keeps making fun of me for getting her title wrong, so I did it right this time. And our theme music is by the great Gunnarola, and as they say in our hometown, don't forget to be awesome.